For over 6 years, Hank Thorpe hosted All of the Above Radio, the most intelligent, honest, and eclectic combo of music and talk that you never heard. But the more things change, the more things stay the same. Hank is back with a new version of the old scene. No more music, no more time constraints, but he still has great stories, great interviews, and more passion than a novel with Fabio on the cover. Once upon a time, Hank Thorpe was your bastion of good music, good talk, and full escapism. Now, Hank is your bastion for punchlines, passion, and perspective. Hank Thorpe, your former, present, and future favorite podcast host, presents all new, all different, but still, All of the Above.
Whichever side of the calendar you're listening on, I say we close off the year or start out the new one with a positive message. Stick around, we'll get to that in a sec. Welcome to all new, all different, all of the above. New version of the old scene. Coming to you from the comfortable gray couch in the beautiful, what did I call it? The beautiful leased condo in semi-peaceful Plano, Texas. I'm getting it down. We're getting there. My name is Hank. Hey, how you doing? If you wanted to contact me, you go ahead and send me an email at alloftheaboveradio@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram at Hank Told You So or at Hank. Hey, how you doing? And yes, I do wave every time I say it, by the way. Even when I'm listening to myself on previous shows, whenever I say, Hank, hey, how you doing? I wave. So, ladies and gentlemen, the day I am talking to you on New Year's Eve of 2021, Jan 31, I'm talking to you on December 31, New Year's Eve, 2021. I wanted to end off the year, or start out the new one for you, whichever one you're listening. I wanted to send you a little bit of a positive message. I've been thinking about this for a couple of months. I have a long list of show materials that I hold on to, very similar to the Jerry Seinfeld book, Is This Something? That book, if you've never heard of it, really very interesting and very clever the way he did it. He took all of his notes from all of the decades of him writing in his quote-unquote yellow legal pad of observations and then would speak to his comedy buddies and say, hey, is this something? And very similar to Jerry Seinfeld's book, Is This Something? Very similar to a comedian with a yellow legal pad, I have a huge slew of show materials that sometimes make it onto these airwaves and sometimes never do. Or sometimes don't. But this one I've been burning on for a little while. Actually, for over a year, it's been sitting around and I've just been kind of, I've been burning on it for almost 2 years as I'm looking at some of the people that I mention in it. But it's something that feels appropriate now as we head into the new year, as Omicron is, for lack of a better word, running rampant, and as people are just feeling a little uncertain anyway. I feel as if now is as good a time as any to share this message with you. So, first, the setup. I battle a lot with how much one person makes a difference in certain scenarios in life. I have been on the airwaves of All of the Above Radio, my former show, and have hat in hand honestly told you that I that I never voted. Even the first year that Obama was running for president, I didn't vote. My absentee vote didn't show up in time. I actually tried. I was actually a registered voter that year. But I have spent the better bulk of my adult life not being a registered voter. Because when you live in a red state, you're pretty convinced that your vote doesn't count. Now, does it count for your local council person? Of course. But I have wondered over and over again, does one person make a difference? And does your vote count? And if you live in a swing state, sure. And somebody that understands politics or civics a little better can probably tell me why the Electoral College is what it is, and why it matters, and why the popular vote, this, that, or whatever. But that's kind of not the point of this conversation. I'm here to tell you that I battle with my significance as one person with a vote. Another place where I struggle is environmental impact. I have, ever since I was a young kid, I was one of those people that was influenced by people who by conservationists and people who talked about environmental impact. I was, to the annoyance of my father, I remember at some point in elementary school, there was some guy who came in, and he talked about there's two things I so strongly remember about this conversation this guy had with us. He talked about styrofoam peanuts being the worst thing in the world for packing and shipping a package. Instead, pop some unbuttered popcorn and pack your materials. And he said, you may think I'm crazy, but as soon as whomever you're sending the package to opens the package, there's popcorn in it. All you need to do is pour it out, is empty the box outside, and the birds will eat it. There's probably somebody who is some level of bird expert out there that is screaming at their sound system listening to this right now. Or maybe they're just kind of nodding their heads and saying, well, that's not a terrible idea. I have no idea. I struggle with half-popped popcorn seeds in my belly. I have no idea if a bird can handle it. But the other thing I remember this guy saying, as he was telling us better ways to help with the environment, that whole conversation about if you leave the water running while you brush your teeth, and if anybody else was listening in elementary school, say it with me, you lose how many? 4 gallons of water while you're running the water as you're brushing your teeth. And I... and so young me, Dad used to brush his teeth with the door open. As he was getting ready to go to work, I would walk in and I would turn the water off as he was brushing his teeth. I am one of those people who turns lights off if we're not in the room. And yet I'll leave the radio on in any room I'm in. I'm still a person who listens to terrestrial radio. And so sometimes I have a big sound system on in the middle of our condo, but sometimes I have the 2 clock radios on in the bathroom, just depending on what time of day it is. So I'm not perfect in my conservation of electricity, but I turn lights off whenever I'm not in the room, and I use natural light as much as humanly possible. I'll open windows as soon as I get up versus turning on a light, partly to save the environment, but partly because too much artificial light in the morning stresses me out. It's very weird, I know. And the other thing I was affected by in my younger days, we'll say 10 years old, 11 years old, If anybody remembers this, I will be absolutely blown away. But you're going to be about my age. I'm 43. You're going to be about my age. And there was an ad campaign, a huge ad campaign for recycling. And it was to the tune of Yakety Yak, Don't Talk Back. Instead of Yakety Yak, Don't Talk Back, it was Yakety Yak, Take It Back. And it was very similar to USA for Africa or Voices That Care. It was a song. It was an ensemble cast singing this song, a super group. Stevie Wonder is the only person I remember in it. But it was a song about recycling. And it was a song that played before movies. You would go to a movie and this PSA, Yakety Yak, Take It Back, would be on. It was all about recycling. And I just remember being a young kid thinking recycling was the greatest thing you could do to help with the planet. And figure out where I land on this one. I am the person that has been recycling for as long as I can remember. And see, the state of Michigan and a couple other states do it right. They charge you, I think it's maybe 5 cents a bottle. If you buy, I think it's either maybe 5 cents a can or 5 cents a bottle. But if you buy liquor, if you buy alcohol, if you buy beer, they charge you extra money. They charge you, I think, 5 cents per. So they have a recycling center in the back of the supermarkets where you can go and you can recycle the cans and get your money back. And you know what college students did? They would straight up pick through the trash and bail all the cans and all the bottles. They didn't buy them, but they'd go to the supermarket and recycle them. And they would pocket that money. So you know what? You got an extra $6-7. I mean, that's probably a case of Natty Ice. And it's a little bit of environmental responsibility. But I'm that guy who, to this day, there is no recycling at my condominium complex. So what I do is I drive to the recycling center, which, by the way, is a 20-minute drive in each direction. So unfortunately, my environmental impact, I'm driving a car to recycle. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm just saying I'm putting forth the effort. But I wonder, for every one of me, there's probably 15 to 20 people. And this is actually an exact quote from a female friend I was very, very, very close with several years ago. We were sitting at lunch one day, just kind of chatting back and forth, and I think she was getting ready to throw something in the trash. I said, "Oh, are you going to recycle that?" She says, "No, I'm not going to be alive when this is really a problem." And I just kind of, my environmental heart sank. I felt like the Native American guy with the tear rolling down his face for a second. That's such a short-sighted view. I mean, the planet is yours now, but, I mean, we should keep it around as long as possible. I mean, we shouldn't just manifest destiny and go to other planets just because this one's a mess. Why don't we fix this one? So I wonder, I do wonder sometimes, does one person make a difference environmentally? And you know what? The answer is probably yes. It's just taking people a lot smarter than me that know how to combine technology and environmental saving. Hence, people that make electric cars or people that make hybrids. Or, I've seen this over and over again, people that are creating water bottles made of algae. It's just like a little algae pack that you just put in your mouth and it dissolves. And so there's water and algae and all of it breaks down in your gut. Stuff like that. I suppose one person can make a difference. But I struggle with both voting and with the environment as to how much influence I have, one person. And I painted up all of this. This is a very large pillow that I have now created. And now here's the conversation I wanted to have. As we walk into 2022, I want you, every last one of you listening, to know. Every now and then, you probably have a similar thought as me. Does my vote count? Is my recycling helping? All of these things you may very well think about. But if you've ever thought, if you've ever had that really sad thought of, do I matter? Maybe do I make a difference on the grander scale? Okay, I can't help you with that one because I struggle with that one. But do you matter to somebody on a person-to-person level? Do you change the dynamic of a room when you walk in? And I'm going to say to every single one of you listening, an emphatic yes. I don't know if you have figured out where you need to be to make that difference, but I can tell you, every single one of you listening to me right now makes a difference to somebody and some group and some dynamic. And not only do you make a difference, not only do you matter, but you would be missed if you weren't there. So being that we're so close, we're just a few days removed at time of recording from the holiday, from Christmas. Of course, the movie It's a Wonderful Life was on insert random television channel here. It's my fiance's favorite Christmas movie, so it was on. And we were somewhat intensely watching it. But that movie, if you've never seen it, it's a guy who runs through some hard times and wishes he didn't exist. And so a guardian angel walks him through what life would look like if he never existed. And I'm not gonna speak in such broad terms here. I'm not going to say whose, like, lives would have been changed if you weren't around. But what I am going to say is what I already said. There is one person, there is a dynamic, there is a room that you change when you're there, and it's for the better. So, I wanted to give you a few examples. A few examples of people who change a dynamic when they enter. So, you all know, my money is made as a bartender. And the place I work has two bars. If you walk in the main door, you can turn left, and there's a bar that has an overlook of a water fountain. If you turn right, there is a bar towards the to-go door that has two TVs. Each bar has two wildly different personalities and wildly different clientele. So, there is a guy named Jim. And Jim used to be a 3 to 4 time a week visitor to the bar. And his favorite place to sit was the farthest left seat up front at the front bar. He could look at both TVs, and he was a former cop, so he could have a safe view of everything going on. Drank Coors Light, wanted Coors Light draft, so every can of Coors Light he ordered, you had to pour it in a glass. And dude could drink. Anyway, so Jim, he came in 3-4 times a week, made a bunch of friends, because the bar I work at is very similar, old person reference, to Cheers. There's 5 to 6, if not 7 to 10 people that inhabit the same bar on a pretty regular basis. And so these people get to know each other, and they get to like each other, and they get to hang out. They go to dinner with each other. They go to other bars with each other. They go to each other's homes. And so Jim works up a pretty intense friendship with a lot of people. And then he moves. And so Jim is now in some other state, doing some other thing, whatever. And so the people that were hanging out with him, they now start hanging out at the bar in the back. No big deal. You can fill those seats no matter what. But then something crazy happens. Whenever Jim comes back to visit, he goes right back to his favorite seat in the front bar, all the way to the left. And so whenever Jim is there to visit, every single person robotically, like a zombie, starts walking to the back and sees Jim and stops and sits down up front. And suddenly a full-on set of people, 6, 7, 8 people that would have sat in the back, that one day, because Jim is there, they sit up front. And I don't know that he has ever paid attention to that. He is so locked up in his Coors Light and his favorite pizza and him being just set in his own ways that he probably thinks anybody that wants to say hi to me will come say hi to me. He doesn't at any point think, I'm going to shake. I'm going to turn the tide of where people sit. He never thinks that. But that's what he does. That's pretty impressive. I have another one for you. So in 2019, I went to massage school. I started the first week of Feb, the day after the Super Bowl in 2019. And there was, I want to say, 11 of us to start roster. It was the morning class, so you had to be there at 9 in the morning, which was not easy for me being a bartender on Sunday nights, but you had to be there at 9 in the morning, and there was 10 of us of all different walks of life. You have a pregnant woman who is an esthetician, a former customer service desk worker, a yoga instructor, a personal trainer, just all different walks of life. And one of the people there, a woman named Asha, a beautiful 40-something Indian woman, mother of two, who wants to incorporate her natural maternal and healing instincts to become a massage therapist. And she's a talker. She's motherly. She's all-inclusive. She's conversational. So many conversations were born from her bringing up topics as the teacher was teaching. Now, when you're an adult, it's a little different. When you're in high school, a person who brings up conversation during talking, that's not acceptable, unless this is advanced placement courses or discussion courses or whatever. But massage school, so long as the material is continuing to push forward, bringing up conversation, it's kind of a good thing. And that's what Asha was very good at. And she was a person who, as soon as we went on break, was chatting with 2, 3, 4 people, was including this person, was including that person. All of these different conversations. She was friends with everyone, or at least friendly with everyone. And the feeling in the room when she was there was of a more inclusive, familial feeling. But wait. Asha realizes she needs to get a job. She needs to get a part-time job to help with the family. So she switches to the night class. And what happens when Asha leaves? Suddenly, the dynamic of our massage school class becomes a little more business-like. It's a little less inclusive. People have their one or two people that they're friends with, and that's it. Very much smaller cliques start to develop versus a big feeling of a family. I don't know if anybody else noticed it, but I sure as heck noticed it. And by the way, that night class that she transferred into, I had to make up some hours. So I went to that night class, and that vibe that she brought to the morning class, she brought it to the night class. Pretty impressive, really. So I got another one for you. This one is about my high school friend, Jeff. I've known Jeff, do you want to get technical, since the summer of sixth grade. We played baseball against each other, and then I met him through a friend. Jeff is the perennial spark plug. He's the guy in your group that energy flows through him. He's the guy that when he's there, live conversation is taking place. He's the guy that if you put seven people in a room that like each other but don't all truly know each other, he's the person who is suddenly getting everybody to ping pong off of each other. And we took a trip in 2015 to New Orleans. We took our first and last guys trip. Seven of us from high school all got together in New Orleans. And it was funny to see the difference in dynamic when Jeff was there and when he wasn't. There were times where Jeff, or when it was all seven of us, sitting around the table having usually one big all-inclusive conversation with him primarily as the spark plug, either people bouncing off of what he had to say or making fun of him because of what he said or being made fun of by him, and it created several ping pong balls going back and forth. But then if you took one instance where he wanted to stay back at the hotel and play beer pong, so three people stayed back at the hotel, and four of us, we went to eat. And it was a whole lot of, how old are your kids again? What job do you do now? When did you move from Ohio? It wasn't boring conversation by any stretch, but it wasn't the lively conversation that the spark plug brings to the table. Every group has one of those. Sometimes it's probably you, but sometimes you know somebody who is, depending on the group, depending on the dynamic. Now let me go ahead and bring it back to work for one quick sec. Let me tell you about a guy named Noah. Noah is our bus boy, and he takes his job, and he is very proud of his work. He is constantly moving, cleaning a table, bussing a table, taking empty plates out of your hand as you're walking to the dish pit. Kid's a machine. He is an absolute machine, loves his job, loves the people he works with. I don't know that he would trade this job for anything. And if you know Noah, you know that the only thing he probably enjoys more than his job is comic books and cosplay. And he is a very, very good cosplay designer. He makes his own costumes. He sews. He builds. He's very good. But when he goes to any various comic book convention, he goes for however many days that convention is. He'll go for 3 days. So when he goes, we don't have another busser. So he's gone, we have no busser. Or we have somebody sub in for him. And if you've never, if you work in a restaurant, you, every last one of you is about to nod your head. You don't know how important having a good busser / barback is until they don't work that day. The amount of time it takes to get a table cleaned when you have a good busser versus anything else, you can easily add 10 to 15 minutes. That's real. And this is me just talking about his work ethic. Or really just his work. But his work ethic is infectious. Because people see him never stop moving. And the good employees, they want to work up to his level. They want to work up to his speed. And when he's not around, boy, people sure do get lazy. And while I'm here, we'll talk about another little piece of work. A man named Teddy. Teddy is a guy who takes a ton of pride in the food he makes. He takes even more pride in how clean his kitchens are. And over the summer, Teddy was appointed head of all the pizza concepts for our company. And the first thing he did was walk in and clean every single kitchen. Hands and knees with bleach and scrapers, or up on ladders with bleach and scrapers, getting rid of old grease, getting rid of old dirt, getting rid of old product. Whatever it was that improved the quality of the food, he did it. And so that one actually kind of works in reverse. The effect that Teddy has on a kitchen, you didn't know it until he showed up. Because some of these, it's you don't know what happens until somebody leaves. But some of these, you don't know what it was until they showed up. Because I can tell you, point blank, one of the kitchens that he went into and cleaned and improved, not the one I work in, thank you very much, but a different one, it really, really needed it. And the quality of food is better, the quality of staff is better, the quality of work is better because of him. And this one happened over a year ago. So I have, actually no, I think it was back in June. So not a year ago, I think it was just back in June. I have no idea how people feel now, but once upon a time, actually no, it wasn't June, it was a long time ago. One of the times I went on vacation. I was gone for a solid 5 days. And when I got back, I noticed that the kegs weren't arranged the way they could be. The beer cases in the walk-in had to be put away. The liquor order was a little bit askew. Just things weren't organized just right. And it's a Friday night, and my bartending partner, she says to me, "Oh yeah, Hank, while you're gone, everybody got really lazy." I'm not sure how much I... professional me loves hearing that. That people up their effort when I'm around. But professional me also thinks, why don't you guys just stay motivated all the time? So then I don't have to come around and do all this crap while I was gone, after I was gone for almost a week. Kind of not the point. And this one, This one's going to be a slightly bigger thought process about the effect one person can make. You all know that I am a very serious lover and appreciator, and even to some level historian of radio, and how much I love terrestrial radio, and more notably talk radio. We're not talking Don Imus or Rush Limbaugh. We're talking FM talk. Howard Stern, Opie and Anthony, Dominski and Doyle, and by extension later on sports talk radio, because sports talk radio has morphed from factual statistical sports talk radio into opinions and guy radio, where there is sports and life. But once upon a time, talk radio is all I listened to. As soon as I found it, I fell in love. Whether it was Live 10 or whether it was 1027 WNEW, the talk you can't ignore, or the talk that rocks, or whether it was 97.1 FM talk, or it was Live 105.3. I am, above all else, a huge fan of talk radio. As much as I love music, talk radio might be above it. Don't know that I've ever said that out loud. But the most recent huge influence on my love of talk radio was Russ Martin. Russ Martin was a host in Dallas talk radio and Dallas music radio since the mid-80s, I believe. And once upon a time, he took over for Howard Stern's morning time slot, just kind of as a goof, and the next thing you know, the ratings soared to the point where he had already been on the radio long before I showed up and found him on afternoons in 2004. But as soon as I found him, I was hooked. I hated him, but I was hooked. And then I loved him, and I was hooked even more. And later on in his radio career, he became very ill. And so there would be days, if not weeks, where Russ Martin would not be in studio, where he just wouldn't be on the show. It would be his cohorts, Dan O'Malley, Alfie Coy, Chloe Rayborn, and Jerry Caldwell. And I would listen every day intensely in the hopes that Russ would be there because of what he brought to the group and what he brought to the show. Even on the days where he talked endlessly about the same topic for an hour and a half, I still wanted him there because the feeling of familiarity you got when Russ was on the air as well as his cohorts was something so different and just felt better. Even when you were annoyed at him for talking about Donald Trump over and over again, or talking about a police officer that did a favor for him, or talking about it, about the fact that he was robbed at gunpoint. Things that even annoyed you to hear him talk about again, or for him to play Rock and Roll Jeopardy because they didn't have any content. The stuff that even the stuff that was annoying, I still listened every day intensely in the hopes that he would be there to bring back that same familiar, comfortable vibe that he so beautifully created. He said that he likened the show to being up in a treehouse. You got to hang out in the tree. In the studio was the treehouse, a very exclusive group of people that all got to talk and have a good time, and you got to listen into the treehouse. And it was so much fun. And listening to the show without Russ, just kind of as lively as it was, as good a job as Dan O'Malley does as an FM talk radio host, and he does do a great job. It just felt different without Russ. And you just kept thinking, surely this is the day that he'll check in from his studio in Frisco. Surely this is the day that he's feeling good enough to talk to everybody. And more and more and more, less and less, you heard him. Until he finally died. And I'm ashamed to say it, for a person who absolutely loved that show so much, and loved every piece of that show, it's not the same without him. And the amount that I listen to the show now without him is pretty minimal. I'm actually more liable to listen to clips of him when he was alive on YouTube at this point. And I feel bad for Dan O'Malley and for Chloe Rayborn and for Alfie Coy, who are still keeping his legacy and running that show and doing a great job with it. But it's just not the same. And as a fan of radio, I miss Russ Martin dearly. So I want every last one of you to think about this. Oh, and I'll pull this out of the mud and bring you something somewhat comedic. So I'm looking at my show topics here, and I have a list here of all the different people that I wanted to bring to you to prove to you that one person makes a difference. Oh boy, there was one more person I was going to bring up and say they make a difference to their dynamic, to their group, to their room. It was going to be Saquon Barkley. So I'm going to take my glasses off for a second. I'm going to take my glasses off and cover my face in shame. Because my beloved New York Giants are, for lack of a better word, currently a dumpster fire. And we, the New York media, the New York Giants fan, the New York Giants management, the New York Giants coaching staff, were all under the impression that Saquon Barkley, this number 2 overall draft pick, would make a difference if he were on the field. Well, first and foremost, he needs to be on the field. But second of all, unfortunately, maybe I need to say one person makes a difference. Maybe it's the offensive coordinator. If I'm going to say one person makes a difference, maybe I need to pick one of those freaking offensive linemen that's not helping open a hole for him. Or I can continue with my lukewarm sports takes and say maybe Saquon needs to just run straight ahead versus trying to make 4 cuts like Barry Sanders. Oh boy. And actually, that careens me into a fun direction. If you want to talk one person that makes a difference to a sports team, how about Barry Sanders? Somebody that, if you want to talk about running backs that are that good, that make that much of a difference to a whole team, it would be Barry Sanders. The guy that Saquon Barkley probably very badly wants to be and currently is not. I had to make it, after talking to you about Russ Martin and how much I miss hearing him on the air, didn't know him as a person, so I can only say I miss him on the air. But I needed to make something comedic happen just so we could pull it out of the mud. So this whole conversation, I wanted to just come to you and let all of you know. One of you at a time, every single one of you, matters. if you've had a moment where you didn't think you mattered, you didn't think existing would make a difference, it does. You do. And like I said in the beginning, I can't tell you what room you need to be in for that to be a difference. I can't tell you what people you're around that influences you that much. I can't tell you that. I don't know you. In that way, at least, I don't know you well enough to know where your impact is felt when you are and you are not in the room. But I can easily and wholeheartedly tell you just how much you matter to somebody. So, if you're listening and you needed to hear it, you matter. You make a difference. Someone or something is better because of you. As we leave 2021 and walk into 2022, you all need to know that. And I will say this. Every single one of you is important to me. Because I got to tell you. I've been doing... Okay. So, ever since I was 16 years old, I wanted to be Marv Albert's replacement. And then once I got to be about 19 years old, I realized I wanted to be Howard Stern's replacement. And then when I got to be about 20, I wanted to be on the air on WNEW after Opie and Anthony. I went to school, well, first for audio production, which was awful and wrong, and I made the wrong choice. And then I ended up going to school for radio broadcasting and loved every second of it. I have done radio on two different college stations. Even back when I was a kid, I was recording myself and then listening back to it. I've been an intern on a number one rated adult contemporary station. I have been, and most recently of all of it, I have been the host of a weekly online radio show / podcast, and now, up to this point, I am the host of a whenever I can get to it podcast. And very little makes me happier than this interaction. Being able to speak freely and clearly to you and then get feedback from you, even the bad feedback, as much as I hate you all when you give it to me, the fact that you took the time to do it is still so amazing. And whenever I look at my statistics for how many plays and downloads I get really discouraged sometimes. Some of my shows have 100 downloads or 100 plays. Some of my shows have 30. And sometimes I get really discouraged and think, what the hell am I doing this for? Does anybody give a crap? Even if 30 of you do, that can be enough. So let me just bring it local and say, you matter. You make a difference. If from nobody else, which is not true, you make a difference in some room somewhere to someone, you make a difference to me. Because I could keep doing this. I could keep talking into nothing. I could keep talking into thin air instead of going to therapy because this doesn't cost anything. But it's better when you're there on the other side. So let me remind you again. If you haven't found the room yet where you make a difference, if you haven't found the group of people yet that remind you that you matter, if you haven't found the dynamic yet that is different without you there, know that the dynamic for me is different if you're not listening to All New, All Different, All of the Above. We are living in some really wild times, people. We need each other. In some way or another, we need each other. Let's continue to be here for each other, changing that dynamic, making it better, one person at a time. Because one person does make a difference somewhere, okay? So we will do this again soon. And soon after that, and soon after that, and soon after that. I've got lots of shows coming up. We are going to give the final progress report on my 2021 goals. Did I make 15 shows? Did I save up enough money? Did I travel somewhere new? We'll talk about that all very, very soon. And we're going to have the 2021 year in review coming up very soon. My superstition wouldn't let me talk about it until after we got into 2022. So long as we all clear New Year's Eve and 2020 and the sun shines and it's 2022, we'll talk about it. My name is Hank. This has been All New, All Different, All of the Above. May there be a next time. I say till next time.